Philip has just lost the respect of the youth league football team he coaches. He was asked what New England should do in the draft, and his answer was objectively terrible. The Athletic just wrote a great article about this, but Philip doesn't have the Athletic or the respect of a boisterous group of 11-year-olds who once looked up to him. Learn from Philip's error, get the Athletic, and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
Springtime savings are in full bloom, all in the Kroger app. Buy one, get one free on flavorful fresh Tyson chicken during our full line sale. Then mix or match during our 99-cent sale and get Kraft mac and cheese, Campbell's soup, or Bar S Franks for 99 cents each when you buy five or more, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
What's up, everybody? Jason here, joined by John Chapman. This is another crossover episode. I was, you know, lucky enough to be on the 49ers Rush podcast. Now, you know, I was able to get John over here. He's a busy man, does a lot, love his work and everything. John, what's going on, buddy?
Man, this is such a cool time. It used to, there would be so much downtime with the NFL. I absolutely love how they have adjusted it to where it's just nonstop. Here we are in the middle of freaking May, and I'm so jazzed, man. When that schedule release came out, I was a little upset about one game, just the whole Tennessee being on a Thursday. That was the game I was so excited about. Oh, and that's where we're at. I see the hashtag CC.
Yeah, I was going to ask you, John. So you know, I was on your show and I got a chance to look through the comments and everything. You know, I try to take a peek here and there. I try to stay away from certain comment sections because sometimes that'll drag you down. But for the large part, I saw a lot of those CCs. Can you explain to me and you know, and my people, you know, what that really means?
So we do what's called the countdown crew. The first 90 seconds we go live. If you just hashtag CC across any platform that we're on, YouTube, Twitch, Periscope, Twitter, Facebook, whatever, that enters you in. That's a ticket. And we do giveaways every month. So last week, or you know, we just gave out a Brandon Ayuk jersey. Nice. We give out shirts. I got this shirt on right here. This is 49ers nice. Waterworks. No leaks leak. Guaranteed. So every time the hashtag CC on a live broadcast, that just puts them into giveaways. And we just, I don't know why. I don't like money. And so I just keep throwing it away. But it's a lot of fun.
No, honestly, that's really cool, and I'm glad you gave me that insight because I was like, man, do they mean credit cards? And sometimes, you know, when I look at my YouTube comments, usually some of them are spam. Like, you'll get one that says Vox and, like, a timestamp, and I never really understand what that meant. So I thought that I thought it had something to do with, you know, your content and everything. I'm just glad that you were able to, you know, clarify it a little bit.
Yeah.
All right. Awesome, man. Well, so, you know, kind of like how you did on your show, you know, you gave me a chance to talk about how, you know, I got into content creating, you know, just for the people that aren't aware, and there's not really many of them, to be honest. How did you get into all of this and covering the 49ers in this grand way that you've been doing it?
It was a weird turn of events. You know, went to grad school, started my own real estate company. Those things were great, but I did not enjoy my job at all. I hated it. And, you know, it's kind of cliche. The wife did the whole, like, oh, if you could do anything, what would you do? And I was like, oh, I'd coach high school football. Grew up in Texas. That was important to me. That was kind of my identity. I was like, that's what I do. So I said, screw this. Real estate stuff, threw it to the side. Started coaching high school football in Texas. And it was just incredible. Dream come true. One of the largest schools in the country. You know, we were a very, very prominent program. And it was just an absolute blast. I loved it. A couple years later, wife and I got the opportunity to become foster adoptive parents. So we got a couple boys. Both of them got expelled their first year.
When we got no way.
Oh man. Yeah. They're the best ever. But we've adopted them permanently. And when we did, I realized I could not keep coaching. Like, I had a bed in my office and I would be spending the night at the school 2 to 3 times a week.
Jesse's asking what school?
At Duncanville, South Dallas. So yeah, nice. Look us up, man. We back to back lost the state championship back to back years, which hurts so bad. But amazing program, loved being there. But when we got our boys, it just was too much. So then I just went to just teaching, and my football outlet disappeared. And I was like, oh no, we have to change this. So then started the podcast and kind of bring in a film coaching background perspective. And again, just as a teacher, I still teach. The whole idea is to educate the fan base and create a better community, positive community. Mm-hmm. We're not toxic. I'm not a toxic dude. I believe in support, positivity, and all that kind of stuff. So that's the idea behind it.
Yeah, Absolutely. And, you know, for everybody that's here and they're excited, it's because they understand your work and you do amazing work and you're consistent with it. And you know, I learn a lot from you as well, too. You know, when you break down film, you do it in a way that there's a part of football Twitter that when they break down film, it becomes hard for laymans to understand. And I don't mean laymans in a bad term. I just mean that not everybody's football acumen is high. Right. And I feel like the hardest part for people to admit is that they don't understand. As opposed to just saying, hey, I want to learn. But you do it in a way where it kind of connects and it blends, you know, the expert level with, you know, let's just say the casual fan, and still, you know, gives them an opportunity to learn, which is, you know, a reason that you've been so successful with your content, I think.
And I'll say this, I've been involved in the coaching, like that was my profession for a long time. I still learn so many new techniques and stuff because, again, you're part of a coaching background. You operate within that scheme. We ran a quarter system. You know, my entire time I was at that program, we ran the same type of defense, 4-2-5 quarter system. So there are some schemes and stuff, and it's always learning and adapting and watching coaching clinics and coaching tape and other people. I think Twitter gets a bad rap because, one, Twitter's amazing, but if I post a clip that shows George Kittle catching a ball, just a routine catch at practice, five people are going to comment, oh, well, the pass was bad, his drop step wasn't good, he needs to do that. And so, like, everybody's trying to, like, always one-up each other. And so you got to kind of be careful with that. And whenever you come from a point of, guess what, guys, I don't know anything, it doesn't really affect when people, like, jump in and try to, you know, tear you down or whatever. So it's like, yeah, it's what it is. But I love the engagement that happens on Twitter. But this, like, everybody's an expert and knows everything, it gets kind of old. So I'm not an expert. I'll tell everybody. My wife would tell everybody. Not an expert.
That's what's the best part to me. And like when people ask me, right, it's like, you know, people say, oh, your knowledge is great. Like they tell me things like this. And I'm just like, listen, here's the best part about this. And this is what everybody should be gravitating to. Whatever it is that you're learning, you're scratching the surface. You could have 0.0001% of the football knowledge that is out there. There's so much to learn. There's so much to grind. There's so much to understand. And I think that's where it gets lost, right? There is no expert. There is no know-it-all, right? Like even Kyle Shanahan at times can be flummoxed somehow. You know, you see the only Shanahan shirt, but you know, if you throw something at him that he's never seen, which is out there, you know, he's even someone who would be susceptible to that. So I think that's what's the beauty of football and all this content creating is that, you know, you learn and you teach, but you understand that you are nowhere near understanding everything and knowing everything. And that's where I think what, you know, I just saw a comment saying, you know, that they enjoy both of our content because we don't dive into the drama. We don't. I mean, honestly, I have no problem filling my cup up with other people's knowledge. And I think that's what's a lot of the issue when it comes down to a lot of these things is guys want to, you know, dunk on other people and show you this and that. Me, honestly, man, if you're going to teach me something, I don't care how that happens, if that's in a tweet or your article, I take it and I learn and I absorb that. And then that's how it should be. I think that a lot of people are scared to fill their cup up with other people's knowledge.
And I think that's why you're crushing it, man. It was funny. I don't do guests on my show, man, very often. Like, I'm weird. And, you know, I put the question out there. I was like, who you guys want on there? And it was, you know, it was about the same four or five people being recommended, but a lot of positive stuff. So love what you're bringing just to kind of the 49ers atmosphere, man. So just keep up the work. Love what you do. I listen to every one of your shows, man. So
that's awesome, John. I appreciate that, man. And hey, listen, if I could recommend somebody and I saw them in the same comments, is I think that you and Vish would have an amazing discussion. Vish is one of the guys that I learned from, a kid who's miles younger than me, right? That's the best part about it, right? A 20-year-old kid that I could meet. He's younger than Trey Lance. And he teaches me all the time, honestly, when I listen to him talk. And again, I'm not afraid to learn from other people, from you, from Croc, from Rich, from him, you know, any of those guys that if you have something that I can learn, I will learn it and I will give credit where it's due. So real quick,
I'll reach out just because of your comment. I love it, man.
Yeah, no, Vish, you know, you and Vish, I think that'll be incredible. So injuries is big. How do we lower it? Niners number one, 49er fan. Thank you for the donation. John, I'll let you take this one real quick before we get into our topics.
Man, the injuries, that's a rough thing to predict. And so if you look at the 49ers, you know, you can go back to 2019 when we were successful. We were not safe from injuries. We went into the Super Bowl with 16 players on injured reserve. Like, that is an above average number. Yeah, I saw the stat out there. The last 5 years, we have been in the bottom eight or top eight most injured, however it is you want to reference that. That's been huge. Now, how much of that is drafting players with injury history, a la Trent Baalke, and how much of that is just bad luck or no offseason? So there's a couple different ways you can get into that. But at the end of the day, this anomaly that continues to happen, it's going to change at some point. And if you look at the 49ers draft class, it looks pretty damn good. You Trey Lance, you know, only 17 starts, no injuries. You know, Aaron Banks, 31 straight starts, And so you start, you know, peppering these guys in. Trey Sermon had some issues, but still was able to play through almost all of them. He had an LCL injury his junior year at Oklahoma, which caused him to miss some time, but came right back the next year and dominated at Ohio State. So it's not as simple as, oh, just draft players who haven't been injured, because we know football has a 100% injury guarantee. It doesn't matter who you are. And you could draft guys like Frank Gore, who's had multiple, you know, ACLs, and then they become NFL's Iron Man. It's not as simple as, okay, they haven't been injured, they won't be injured. But hopefully this year we'll get into some of the mandatory mini camp, and, you know, people don't listen too much to Tom Brady and they get in and get some workout. We didn't have that last year. I think that'll help some with some of the soft tissue stuff.
Yeah, and that's kind of what I said on your show as well, too, is that, you know, just playing the law of averages and how things work, there's no way that that injury like level can happen again. It can't. It's impossible. And if it does, then there's someone out there, someone with a voodoo doll who is out to get the 49ers, because it's impossible to have that many injuries. Literally, the first placeholder for a position was injured. They would bring someone in free agency. That person would get injured. And then the third person that would be behind, he would get injured. There's no way that all of that can happen. And you're absolutely right. You know, football is all about injuries. You're going to have them. Can you play through them? How severe are they? That's absolutely true. But there's no way. It's almost impossible. Yeah. Like, I'm going to knock on wood again just in case. But it's impossible to have that amount of injuries again, which is why when we talked about, you know, when you asked me, hey, what's the NFC West prediction? It's still the 49ers, because it can't be that bad again. It can't. It just can't. It's impossible almost.
We lost five centers before training camp last year. I'm not exaggerating the number either. Like, we were still in training camp and we were down five centers. It's not happening again. It's going to be better this year.
Definitely can't happen. So you were talking about it earlier. We were talking about the schedule and the reveal and everything as well, too. How do you feel, you know, overall thoughts on the actual schedule? You know, we'll get to a prediction in a little bit. Yeah. You know, I'll pull up the actual schedule if you want to go through it that way. But overall feelings, how do you feel about the bye week and things like that?
Bye week's my least favorite part. Okay. I don't like the week six bye week. And you want a later one, especially as the season gets longer and longer and longer. But I'll say this, every single year, East Coast and West Coast teams, they all have complaints because you're getting screwed. You've got to travel more than everybody. 49ers have the most travel, but it's that way every year. You look at the NFC West, all of them are in the top six. Like, it's just what it is being on the East Coast or West Coast. But I love this schedule. The 49ers got a gift from the NFL media gods or whoever comes up with all this mess, because there is no crazy road trips that you have to go on. There's peppered in so many weak teams. If you just look across the NFL and you say, all right, and a lot of this is because the 49ers finished fourth last year, but we even got some lucky stuff outside of that. You're playing almost every poor team in the NFL. Philadelphia, awesome. Detroit, greatness. You look across to the other side, Jacksonville, I love it. The Texans, are you kidding me? Cincinnati, like, my favorite thing about this is that 17th game, which I was against it, but I'll take it. But the best thing about the 17th game this year, the 49ers get to play the Bengals, where the rest of the NFC West plays Pittsburgh, Baltimore, and Cleveland. Three solid teams. So just that one little, you know, game itself, I absolutely love that. This is a fun schedule. I hate opening on the road weeks one and two, but very, very winnable matchups. And usually what happens to the NFL, man, if you can just go 4-4 on the road, which there's nine games this year, so 4-5 or whatever, and kind of hold serve at home, you're great. You're a playoff team. But man, our road games, four of our easiest six matchups are on the road. And so I love this schedule, because if you could just go 500 or above, again, nine road games this year, holy cow, this schedule just lays out perfectly. I really, really do. I like it a lot.
Awesome. Is there a game that you're highlighting that, you know, you're super excited about, a game that has a little bit of electricity? And then I'll go after once you pick one, unless you pick the one that I'm going to pick.
I think the Colts is going to be one of the best games.
That's
the man, Jason. I think it might be the best game in the NFL the entire season.
Yeah.
One, they're kind of 49ers Midwest, right? They've got a lot of 49ers ties. You got DeForest Buckner coming back. You know, who's going to know what happens with, you know, their quarterback over there and kind of what happens there with Carson Wentz. Plus, man, Trey Lance, that's after the bye week. I think that's the most likely time for Trey Lance to come in, depending on how Jimmy G's doing. You might get, you know, Carson Wentz, North Dakota State, and Trey Lance, North Dakota State. Like, how cool is that going to be? Yeah. Tell me another school that has as many quarterbacks, you know, going right now in the past 5 years. People forget Easton Stick. He's still out there as well. But I think that's going to be probably the best game. Sunday Night Football, we're coming off a bye week too. So they got to come all the way to us, and we get a bye week before it. That's going to be a fun game.
Yeah, honestly, man, that was the one that I had circled. And for you know, foolish reasons, because I believe in the narrative of revenge games. I run with the narratives that I like. So the DeForest Buckner revenge game is something that I am, like, fascinated with. Carson Wentz, you know, where will he be in that game? And you know, there is something to the Colts being very, very good. And what you talked about, like, being similar to the 49ers, they're built with the offensive line. Getting to watch Quentin Nelson, you know, play as well too. You know, Eric Fisher's not going to be able to play in that game, but the Colts are really good, honestly. And I think that's a game that people kind of overlook. But I mean, Sunday Night Football, you know, you're going to be getting DeForest Buckner back. That has a lot of juice. I would have said the Packers game, but I don't foresee Aaron Rodgers being the quarterback there. So if it's Jordan Love or Blake Bortles, that game loses a lot of cachet, honestly. You know, so I mean, and I said Blake Bortles because, and this is why you're laughing. The idea that I could even say, hey, a first-round quarterback that you drafted or Blake Bortles lets you know how bad Jordan Love has been in practice, honestly.
And
you
hasn't even been activated yet.
I mean, how bad? You know, and look, there's throws of him, you know, missing targets badly. And like you said, you know, it's less about what the coaches say and more what they do. If he's not even active, and think about this, right? The Packers were in many advantageous positions where they're blowing people out. And they still never even thought enough to bring him in, maybe to get some reps, you know, while the game's in hand. They're that against playing him. So that's why when I say Jordan Love or Blake Bortles, yes, I'm making a joke, but that also speaks to how bad Jordan Love has been, honestly, that Blake Bortles needed to be a consideration. So let me ask you a question. Is there any game that concerns you as far as a trap game? You know, that in 2019, the 49ers get this thrilling victory against New Orleans and then lose to the Falcons the last week. Is there any game that concerns you? Is there any game that, you know, you should think about, hey, you know, maybe this team would have a letdown?
Yeah, whenever you look at the second half of our schedule, there's a lot of, you know, games that you'd circle and say, oh, that's a W, but it's sandwiched between or comes immediately before or after a really tough pivotal game. So for example, if you look at the Vikings, which I don't really believe in their roster, so much turnover, Kirk Cousins, obviously, whatever else. But guess what? We play at Seattle the following week, which I think is the most difficult game on our schedule. So, you know, overlooking things like that. Then you go to the Bengals the following week. Again, I think that's a very easy, winnable game on the road, but it's coming after Seattle. You go to the last week of the season, week 17, the Texans. I think the Texans are going to have the first overall draft pick next year, whether Deshaun plays or not. That's, again, another terrible roster. But it's sandwiched in between at the Tennessee Titans, at the Rams. And so that's one of those games where the NFL parity always shows up. And, again, you look at, oh, the Texans, and we got them at home. That's an easy W. But, man, you sandwich those between two top-tier road teams, you don't know what's going to happen. It always gets kind of weird in those times. Now, good playoff teams, good quality football programs, they do not drop those games. So their litmus test. Yeah, obviously you look at how do you play against top-tier teams, but that's not what costs teams in the playoffs. That's not what it is. It's consistency and not dropping those easy ones, especially heading into the playoffs.
So here's one that, you know, I was on Grant Cohn's show earlier today that I dropped as a team that I was afraid of as a letdown game. The Jacksonville Jaguars. Here's why. Monday Night Football against the Rams at home. Now you have to fly across the country. 1 o'clock game for us over here on the East Coast. 10, right? Okay. Now, yes, Urban Meyer, You can laugh at him. You know, Tim Tebow still hasn't officially been signed. Also, by the way, he also had to reiterate today on Chris Collinsworth's podcast that that's still not done, you know, as much as everybody wants to talk. So, but when you look at them on the offensive side of the ball, Trevor Lawrence, Etienne, James Robinson, DJ Chark, Marvin Jones Jr., right? They add him as well, too. That could be a game where not the 49ers lose, but if the 49ers win 20-17, 21-17, 24-21, you shouldn't be all that surprised. You know, I think that, you know, when we talk about these football players, people just expect them to be Iron Man as far as drive, you know, flying back and forth. Look, I flew to Cali for a few days to mess around and catch footballs from Andrew. My body was recovering days after. Like, it was just, and I wasn't playing football, you know, like I ran around for like an hour and a half with him. That was it. So I think, you know, that sort of thing, again, it should be a win. The 49ers should roll them. But I'm talking about this being a much more difficult game than you believe. Like, that's not just like a straight up 40 to nothing type game, right? I could see that being a game where the 49ers have some issues. They wind up pulling the game out, and the game's a lot closer than people believe. I won't project an L against a team that won two games last year. I won't project that. But I could foresee some messiness when it comes to that game. So that's the game that kind of concerns me a little bit.
Plus, Duval is just a crazy county if you've ever been there. So
I have. that's actually one of the games on the docket for me to visit. So while we're talking about the schedule, before we get into predictions, you know, you're very big on going on the road, right? You know, you were in Miami for the Super Bowl. I was too. We weren't linked up then. You know, we weren't linked up then. So, like, you know, I was just there, just honestly, aimlessly wandering South Beach, waiting for the game to start. But are there any games that you are circling on your calendar to meet up, you know, things like that, things that you're going to be doing?
So my manager is going to get pissed off at me about this. Our site's not live yet, but we're starting, and, you know, a little bit of spoiler alert here. We're doing three road trips this year, the 49ers Rush podcast, three of them. And it's not just like, hey, we're going to the game. No. We're doing all out entertainment, booking venues for the night before, throwing 49ers parties, raffles, giveaway, live broadcasts, drinks.
It's breaking news, guys. On the pod.
I'm going to get in so much trouble. That's okay. Anyway, we're doing three trips this year, and it's going to be incredible. As far like detailed, like we're getting group rates for hotels to try to save some money. Again, we're selling tickets to some events, and we're doing all kinds of stuff. It's going to be great. The three games that I'm going to this year, 49ers Rush, or it's going to be called the 49ers Rush Road Trip. Site's coming live this weekend, so stay tuned for that. We're doing week two at the Eagles, Philadelphia, man. And Chase is coming out, and he's going to be recorded with us. So we're going to be I'm so freaking pumped.
See, I love Philly. Yeah, I mean, I can't wait. I can't wait. Yep.
So we got that one. We're doing week eight at the Bears Halloween, Chicago.
I'm going to be there too. I already booked for that too.
My man, dude. And then week 18, which I think might be the most important game on this thing here in Los Angeles. I live in Pasadena, California, so a little bit of a local game for me. But SoFi Stadium, I love that. That place is beautiful. And we're just going to, you know, 49ers, it's a home game, but it's away from, you know, Santa Clara. So those are the three games that we're doing. I'd like to add more, but man, the finances and all the stuff that goes into it, it's a huge ordeal. But if you're one of the people that's wanting to go to some games this year, and let's say you go by yourself and you travel by yourself, or you can't afford tickets for the whole family, you're not going by yourself. Pick one of those games and you come hang out with us. We're going to be tailgating together. We're going to be drinking the night before together. It's going to be a communal hangout. This is who we are. Faithful showing up and having a great time.
Oh man. So now you just kind of got me hype about just look, if we're already going to be linking, because I've literally already booked my flight and everything to go to Chicago. That's done. Philly is super close. That's done. Now you're kind of talking me into going to LA week 18, man. And hopefully that's not the last time the 49ers play there. They play there maybe a few weeks down the line, they'll be playing there again. I like that. Awesome. So look, real quick, we'll go through it. Not really too many explanations. Just, you know, I'll throw out a game. WLWL. Let's just, you know, keep it as simple as possible. So 49ers Lions, I got it as a W.
Yeah.
Okay. 49ers Eagles, I got it as a W.
Yes. Back-to-back games against new coaching staffs early in the year. New quarterbacks. Love that, man. Gift from the gods.
Absolutely. Jordan Love and Blake Bortles come to town. I've got that as a W as a home opener. Honestly, I don't. Honestly, John, I really don't foresee Aaron Rodgers playing this year for the Packers. I really don't. It's beyond repair, and it's been happening for years. It's like the worst kept secret. Honestly, I don't understand how anybody could think that anything other than what's happening is going to happen.
And even if he does play, if you remember, we have the Packers number, and somebody's going to say, well, they beat us really bad last year. If you remember, that was the close. Yeah, that was a close call COVID game. No Trent Williams, Jimmy G, Kendrick Bourne, Deebo, Ayuk, Mostert.
Ayuk.
Yeah. Everybody was out. Craycraft was our starting number one wide receiver that game. Good Lord. And Justin School kind of wrecked the whole game. I think he gave up like 3 sacks, whatever.
But so he only plays bad against the Packers, though. See, John. Like,
it is
like
weird.
When he plays the Packers only, it's like when he just like the egregious misses happen. I'm sorry. I didn't mean to cut you off.
No, I think you nailed it. Like, I'm higher on School than most, but that's left a bad taste in our mouth because that's the last time we saw him. But even if Aaron Rodgers is back, I count this as W. It's just a bad matchup for the Packers.
Yep. Okay. So 3-0. Seahawks 49ers, first time that they tangle. It's a regular 1 o'clock game for you guys over there on the West Coast.
One of these games will be dropped versus Seattle. I think the hardest game on our schedule is at Seattle, but one of these games will be dropped. So I'll go W here. And that leads us up to 4-0, which again, Matt, you're not going to be switching no quarterback if you're 4-0 with Jimmy G. That's not happening.
Very, very good point, honestly, and I agree with you, honestly, especially when we talk about Seattle being full capacity at that point, you know, again, you know, and so, and again, you know, look, even the most hardcore 49er fan would say, man, one of these games is going to get dropped. Like, you can't just say you're going to sweep the Seahawks, you know, mm-hmm. as bad as they are, whatever, Russell Wilson still got all that tension around it. You got to feel like one of those gets dropped, you but know, I agree with you.
We're big bettors on our podcast. Mm-hmm. Like we go through and all this stuff. I tell you this, betting on divisional football in the NFL is dumb. One of my tenets. Yeah. Don't do it. Don't do it. Yep. It's just too unpredictable. And so everybody's like, oh, you know, no. Don't bet on divisional games. Don't do it. You can bet on the over. You can bet on the under. You can bet on whatever. But point spread in divisional games, I'm telling you, it's a waste of money.
Absolutely. Okay. After that, the 49ers actually go home to Glendale, Arizona. Cardinals, October 10th. What do you got?
I got a loss there, man. Okay. I don't like the way that we play the Cards for some reason. Again, you're looking at this schedule, and again, you break the schedule up into quarters. That's what every team's always done. You break it up into fours. Well, now we got 17. With our bye week at 6, it's very clear the first 5 games is going to be quarter one for the 49ers. If you can get out of there 4-1, 3-2, you're elated. You're very, very happy. And I think that, you know, we're going to drop that Seattle or at the Cardinals game. It's possible to go with, you know, another crazy run where you're 9-0. That's only happened twice in 49ers history. You don't want to predict those things. If they happen, you love it and you celebrate it. But predicting those things, very, very rare, despite how good your team is.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's the part that I caught myself when we were going through the schedule. I was just like, man, why am I giving so many W's? You don't want to be over optimistic, especially with the parity in this league. And also, we're talking about this on May 13th. When the games actually start to play after week one and you start to see other people on film, you're like, oh, man, they're going to cause you problems here and there. So right now, all we're doing, this is just a fun exercise to fill content and just, you know, have a good discussion about. But you know what? I'll give them the W there, but I'm going to give them a loss next week to the Colts. On Sunday Night Football.
I really do think that this is going to be kind of circled for the Colts and like we're arriving and things like that. Can the 49ers win this game? Yes, obviously. Yes. 49ers can beat every single team in the NFL, hands down. Having said that, man, the bye week, you know what? I'm going to go against you. I'm going to go against you here. I'm going to say we get this W here. I think that this would be the W game, and I'm going to go opposite. Week 8, the Bears. I could see that being a loss. I really, really could see that being a loss.
Okay. So I think, you know, I think that in a 49ers fans' wet dream right now would be Trey Lance versus Justin Fields. Don't know how that is going to play out, especially if we're talking about right now, you and I both have the 49ers having one loss going into this game. You know,
they're not switching with one loss.
Mm-mm, they aren't. Yeah. They are not, honestly. Okay. So,
and to be fair, real quick before we jump to the next point, if we're at one loss at that point, you're hoping and praying. You're not hoping anybody gets injured, but Jimmy G's trade value just went from like a second round to now you're talking late first. And so this is the best case situation for everybody involved. We all want our new toy in Trey Lance. I want him as much as anybody, but this is great. Delayed gratification. You're upping Jimmy G's stock. Everything is just, this would be perfect situation.
Right. Absolutely. And I agree with that 100%. Again, even if I'm not with the calculated risk of having him out there because of, you know, like God forbid he plays bad or gets injured or something like that. But this is best case scenario. Right. Especially, you know, you and I just chose different games, but we're at the same record at this point right now. Right. I'm going to give the 49ers a win here. And here's why. And it's less about Justin Fields more than anything. It's more about Matt Nagy. I just, you know, when I watch him, you know, when he was in Kansas City, you know, it's funny, right? When he was in Kansas City, Andy Reid had a tough time with play calling. And then when they turned it over to Matt Nagy, all of a sudden things changed, right? Yeah. And this was during Kareem's first year there, I believe, if I'm not mistaken, Kareem Hunt's first year, right? And, you know, like Andy Reid completely went away from Kareem Hunt. And then all of a sudden, Matt Nagy got it back rolling again, right? So here's the thing.
Did you know that you can now win up to 100 times your money on Prize Picks with as little as 4 correct picks? You can turn $10 into $1,000 with basketball, hockey, college basketball entries today on Prize Picks, America's number one fantasy sports app. And here's what's great. You can get action on sports on more than 30 different states across the country, including California, Texas, and Georgia. On top of that, you got playoff basketball actions on the horizon, and this is the best place to take advantage of all of basketball's postseason actions. Some of these player props: Nikolai Jokic for over 10 rebounds, Anthony Davis more than 2 blocks, Lillard, 4 three-pointers made. You get to pick exactly how you want to use your bets. So, download the app today. Use code 49ers49ERS for a deposit match up to $100. Again, that's promo code 49ers for a first deposit match up to $100 over on Prize Picks. Pick more, pick less. It's that easy.
If you care about security and convenience, you need Eufy Video Lock. Let's just say you're sitting on the couch and you want to lock the door and you don't want to get up. Got you covered. You're wondering who's visited your house while you're away from home? Done. You want video that's stored on your device without a monthly fee? Eufy Video Lock has everything that you need. On top of that, it's easy to install. You don't have to drill anything. All you need is a Phillips screwdriver. That's it. Keyless entry, fingerprint recognition, no battery anxiety, and they have 24/7 customer support on standby for you whenever you need it. So, if you haven't yet, go to Eufy Video Lock. You can Google it. You can check out the videos and all those things. That is EUFY Video Lock. Or visit eufyofficial.com/video lock to see how you can gain complete control of your door. That's Eufy Video Lock.
I don't think that he's as bad as everybody says, but I do have my reservations with him, you know, and I don't think he's going to be around for too much longer. So if the reason that I'm going to say that it's the 49ers, it's more because of them and not Justin Fields, because, you know, I want Justin Fields to succeed every game as long as it's not the 49ers. But Matt Nagy is going to hold that team back with their play calling. You know, I love Allen Robinson. I think he's one of the best underrated receivers in the league. Their defense, you know, they literally got rid of Kendall Fuller for no reason. Like they had no reason to do it. Like it didn't even make sense to salary cap, anything like that. He's still super productive, and you know. But I'm just, the Bears are a bit of a dumpster fire, if I could use a less of a better word, honestly, more than anything, honestly. So I mean, that's where I'll push back a little bit there. It's just, again, May 13th. That's just how I feel. Again, they could come out and knock the doors off the whole place, you know, week one with Justin Fields, and then I'd have to reevaluate this. But right now, as of the time that it sits right now with this team, I'm not really too worried about the Bears. It's going to be an amazing game, and I will be out there, honestly, for it. Just I would advise any 49er fan that's looking for tickets to that game, not buy them yet, because they haven't opened up the whole stadium. Like, nope. You're basically paying for, like, those like limited seats.
Chicago's going to be the most expensive to go to, period, yes. This year. It always is. Yes. But I'll say this. One of my favorite cities, when they did back-to-back drafts there, me and my buddy went there and just had an absolute blast. So we'll be staying close to, you know, Memorial Park and where the stadium is, Soldier Stadium. That's going to be a fun trip, man. I love Chicago. It gets cold, but it's going to be fun.
And Halloween night. So 49ers go back home. After that, Arizona's back.
What, yeah, I think we drop one to the Cards. I think we went at home And I, again, coming after that game of Seattle, whatever, I don't see this being a 49ers team that loses back-to-back type games. I just think they're too stout. The depth is there, all those things. Cardinals have a very deep roster. We talked about this last time we hooked up. A terrible coaching staff. And so I'm not too worried about them. But for some reason, their best game, their rivalry game is the 49ers. I think they sneak one from us, but this won't be it.
So, again, we talked about this on your show. It's less about the coaching staff because I really don't think anything of Cliff Kingsbury, and I really don't think much of their additions. You know, Malcolm Butler, A.J. Green, J.J. Watt, this would have been the best team in 2012, I swear, honestly. But honestly, it really boils down to just Kyler Murray. That's it. Kyler Murray has any goodwill towards Cliff Kingsbury is because of Kyler Murray. Only, absolutely only. That's it. Like, yep. He's the only reason that anybody thinks anything good of him. So I agree with you that they're, you know, there's a chance that they drop one, but I'm going to be a little bit more bullish, and I'm going to say the 49ers win this game too. I am.
I love it, man.
Honestly, I mean, look, again, I feel bad because I don't want to just keep stacking wins, but you know, with
that's
the Cardinals,
a testament to this roster. It's yes. A good find the hole, find the leak, find the weakness in the coaching staff. All you would take our coaching staff over every team we played. You would take our roster over every single team we have played. Those aren't in question. And so it's so easy to say you put them in a vacuum, us versus them. Oh my God, I'm taking us every time. Yeah. But then the NFL sometimes, you know, they do the crazy parody and whatever else it happens.
Mm-hmm. So Monday Night Football, this is a big one. 49ers at home against the Rams, man. And this is the one where I struggle with because we talked about it on your show. The team that I'm most worried about, obviously you're worried about Russell Wilson because they lay in the weeds with Seattle, and that's just how they are. It's the Rams. And, you know, yeah. And we talked about it, man. Sean McVay doesn't have to hold his quarterback's hand anymore. They've got weapons. They've got a quarterback who can sling it. They've got a running back who can run it. They're top heavy with the number one or two shutdown corner and probably the number one or two like football player in the world right now, Aaron Donald. How do you foresee this one shaking out?
One of the things I looked at when the schedule came out was, man, I'm hoping we don't have three road games in a row. I'm hoping we don't get stacked. You know, you remember that one year where we played like Packers, Ravens, Seahawks,
Saints,
like,
and Packers. Yeah.
It was just like, I was looking for that. But one of the top things I looked for was I want to play the Rams late in the season. And the main reason why is this. They are the most top-heavy roster in the NFL with the least amount of depth. They have their stars, Ramsey, Stafford, Darnold. Yeah, the wide receivers. I get it. After that, it's a wasteland. So whenever I saw our first matchup against the Rams was week 10 and then week 18, I started celebrating because I think the division comes down to these two teams. And I think the Rams weeks 1 through 4 versus late, I could be wrong here, but if any team has any injuries, this team will be screwed if they have 4 key injuries. There is no depth there. So I got a W here. Week 10, Monday Night Football. I love the competition between Kyle Shanahan and McVay. And Shanahan's owned them when they play each other. Mm-hmm. But I don't think that they get over the hump this year. And I think the 49ers, I think they'll win both of those games against the Rams this year.
So here's my thing, right? And I see in the comments, Jesse's put it, not worried about the Rams, the defense take a step back. They will. You know, obviously, you know, losing Josh Johnson and losing those guys in the secondary, that's not going to be easy to replace. But here's my counterpoint to that. Bringing in Stafford scores more points, you know, and that's the problem. It's like, that's the thing, okay? So, but you're absolutely right, John. If this team has even one injury to one of these superstar guys that they have, it's over because the depth becomes so thin, right? And I think that's really a good point that you brought up. But I feel like if this team is rolling and they're fine and they're good, like with their injuries and stuff, man, Matthew Stafford and that offense makes up for whatever they're going to give up. This defense could go from top one, because it was the number one defense last year, could go from top one to top 10, and that's regressing, but still be fine. And
you know, and I'll say this too. I think Cam Akers could lead the NFL in rushing.
Like, oh, I would not be surprised. I'm so scared of that, honestly, because now you have to worry about the quarterback throwing the ball over your head. It, like, defense has never had to worry about before. And at the end of the year, Cam Akers came on when they finally just gave him the actual workload. You know, like, you know, we were all big on Darrell Henderson going into fantasy, but for no reason, honestly, because they went and they just went right ahead and just went and got Cam Akers. So, I mean, and Cam Akers really came on at the end of the year. So, you know, I'll give them a win in this one as well because it's a home game. And again, even if Salah's not there, they understand the scheme. You know, Shanahan can give D'Amico Ryans the Cliff Notes of what they're going to be trying to do. But I just worry about having a guy who you don't have to talk to all the way up to the last, like, 10 seconds, you know, with the clock, you know, and he's able to do things with his arm that Jared Goff will never be able to do in his life. You know, like, I don't care who he hooks up with. So, 49ers-Jags, I got this as a W. I just said it was just going to be a tougher game than I think people think.
Oh, W for sure for me. Yeah. That's a bad team. That's a bad team.
Vikings at the 49ers, November 28th. So you talked about the roster and not really worrying about, you know, the Vikings. I will say this, right? You know, and this is where me and 49er fans kind of disagree on Kirk Cousins a little bit, right? The only reason 49er fans don't really like Kirk Cousins is because he's a dork. When you really look at what he's done on the field and you quantify his film and his stats, the last 2 years, he's been very, very, very good. The reason that the Vikings have really taken a step back is because Mike Zimmer is a defensive coach, and they have taken a huge step back on defense. And he, so what I want to point to is watch any press conference after any game, even wins. Mike Zimmer's in there complaining the entire time about the defense. That's all he cares about, right? Kirk Cousins could have went up there and put up 41 points against somebody, right? And they could have given up 10. He's going to complain no matter what because he's just a defensive guy. But you talk to me about what you think about in this game.
Man, the one thing I will say about the Vikings that they have in their favor, it's not a primetime game, so Kirk Cousins has a chance. And two, their strengths on offense, obviously wide receiver, match up pretty good with our kind of weaknesses on defense. You know, I don't think they're going to be able to run the ball very well against us, but man, it's going to be one of those air it out, Justin Jefferson, you know, in the past. And this is one of the things I'm looking for, the litmus test for D'Amico Ryans. Probably one of my issues with Saleh, which he got better and better at every year, is he would allow one play, one player to beat that defense. Is D'Amico going to be the guy that's going to be able to step up and stop Jefferson if he's going off or whatever, you know, Adam Thielen? So it's going to be a fun game. I think this is going to be a fun test, but at the end of the day, the 49ers, I mean, Kirk Cousins, like, I don't know, man, he's good. And his stat line is always good. Mm-hmm. But at the end of the day, I just don't see him as a winner against good teams. So I'm going to give W to the 49ers there.
I hear you.
Is a dork. He is a big dork.
He is a big dork, you know, honestly. But I mean, whenever you wear, like, you know, socks with the thong sandals, it's like, that's just like a huge red flag, honestly. I know that has nothing to do with football, but all right, let's keep
moving. It does, though. It does.
All right. December 5th. Sunday Night Football in Seattle. I think we kind of talked about it. I think I have this marked down as a loss.
I do as well. I think this is the toughest game on our schedule, playing at Seattle. And the thing that I would add to it is this. There were no fans there last year. They lost their home field advantage. They're going to be coming out. You know, we talked about which games we're buying tickets for and going to and all those things. Seattle's buying tickets to this game. This is going to be the most expensive game that they have all year. And it's going to be crazy. Now, can the 49ers win this game? Yes, 100%. But degree of difficulty, it is the toughest game on the schedule.
Yeah, and that's the thing, right? The 49ers could win every single one of these games. Like, you know, all right, there's a world, and the percentage of the chance of this happening is like 0.0001, but there's a world where the 49ers win all these games. But you have to try to be objective, right? You know, there's going to be games that are losses. There's going to be war of attrition when it comes to injuries, and there's going to be teams that do things differently and they play differently. You always know that when the Seattle Seahawks are on the schedule, you're down for a battle. You're down for a battle to the last minute. Or, unfortunately, because we haven't seen it on our side, Seattle just blows out the 49ers, you know, like that. Like, unfortunately, like, the 49ers don't have blowout wins against Seattle. They don't. They either have down to the last second wins, they have either down to the second losses, or they get blown out like they did last year, you know, in the Seattle Seahawks game. Sorry, guys, I didn't want to, you know, be negative, but it's just history, honestly, when it comes to it. So, yeah, that's the one that I'll give them a loss. But then they go right to Cincinnati. We've got to find that. Yeah, John. What I want to do when I get to Cincinnati, if I go to this game, because I could drive to it theoretically, I want to find that 49ers fan that was giving that obscene gesture.
I knew exactly what you were talking about as soon as you started, man. I mean, he is so great. And there's when you see the guy, if you remove the background and you didn't know the game was in, you just saw the haircut, you'd be like, that dude lives in and or around Cincinnati. This is where he is from. And so, yeah, man, I'm with you.
I posted the video of him doing that on Twitter, and people were just like, how is this man not in the Hall of Fame? That is literally – so you know what's funny? There's like moments of 2019 that you can, you know, picture in your mind because it's such a memorable year no matter what anybody has to say about it or anything like that. That's one of them, man. Like seeing that on TV and then that having that turn into a GIF, and that guy is a legend. And I just want to find him so I could buy him a beer. More than anything, I just want to buy him a beer and just say, thank you, man. Thank you for your contributions to 49ers Twitter. You know what? He's probably one of those guys that's completely oblivious to the fact that we have taken his likeness and posted it so many times. But yeah, honestly, look, you know,
Joe and Burrow, I love Cincinnati. I'm not trying to down on Cincinnati. I apologize if I offend anybody. I love that city, actually.
No, you're good. You're good, honestly. But with the Bengals, honestly, look, love Joe Burrow, love Ja'Marr Chase. You know, I thought that, you know, what they did in the draft was they prioritized the quick game as opposed to, you know, protecting Joe Burrow. They're not going to have him drop back a ton and have long deep routes. You know, Ja'Marr Chase they have that chemistry, so they're thinking less about. That's why when people were confused about why they didn't go lineman is because okay, you get the best receiver on the board in their mind, and you're going to run a lot of quick game with him because remember Zach Taylor runs an offshoot of Shanahan's offense and things like that. But I still have the 49ers winning this game. That defense is really bad. Losing William Jackson, I really don't understand. You know, losing William Jackson and Carl Lawson, I don't know how you replace either of those guys, and especially William Jackson, who is one of the most underrated cover corners in the league.
I'm with you, man. His game tape out of Houston, I was so high on that kid. He was a hell of a player. I still think he is a great player. I'm big William Jackson III fan.
Yep, absolutely. So we both got that one marked down as a win. Falcons come to the 49ers. Let me ask you a question, and you know, this is me just trying to, you know, start a whole other topic. Is Julio Jones playing for the Falcons or is he playing for the 49ers in this game?
Every time I go down this damn rabbit hole, Jason, I get so happy and I get so excited.
He's my favorite player in the league. I've never had my favorite player in the league play on my team ever.
And so, man, there's so many ways it makes sense. It's going to cost a second round pick. If the 49ers do that, now you don't have a first or second round pick next year. That's my biggest thing. Not even salary cap.
Yeah.
The only way that I can make it make sense, and stay with me now. We go through a couple weeks. That's the only way. Now, if they trade Julio Jones before this season, I don't think the 49ers are going to be involved. But we go through the bye week, you know, before the trade deadline. We offload Jimmy Garoppolo. Then we bring in Julio Jones. I think that would work. But, man, just the draft capital, you'd have to get something huge back. And maybe Kyle Shanahan says, look, we're going to get a second for Jimmy. So let's give up our second. We'll get back a second or a first for Jimmy. And that kind of makes sense for it. But man, if you added Julio Jones to this offense, even where he is now, golly, man.
And I agree with you. Honestly, I think that the Jimmy Garoppolo contract is what stands in the way, right? Because of the cap hit and everything as well, too. And I agree with you. Me, I'm just playing fantasy football. I just want to see my favorite player wear a 49ers uniform, and then you're talking about even at this stage in his career still being probably the best receiver the 49ers have had since Terrell Owens if he joins the team, even if it's for a year or two, honestly.
And one of my things that I love the most is this front office is calling. They turn over every rock, man. So they're going to call and say, hey, you want a third? Like, you want a third? Like, let's make this work. There's no doubt they're informing. Kyle Shanahan, loyalty project, 101. He's coaching them. Julio's best season ever is with them. So, I mean, the ties are there. He knows the system. He can come in right away. It's just the draft capital. If they take a third, all right, let's figure some stuff out here. But we'll see.
How indefensible would this lineup of Julio Jones, Brandon Ayuk, Deebo Samuel in the slot, George Kittle, God help defensive coordinators if that were to happen?
You could never put eight men in the box ever.
Never, ever. Oh, man. All right. So with this one, I'm going to give them a loss. Just because, again, this is another one of those games where it's a letdown, right? So, look, they're going to beat the Bengals. I have no problem with that. You know, it's just there's something weird about the way that they play them, even if Dan Quinn's not over there anymore. Mm-hmm. You know, and look, Matt Ryan, Kyle Pitts, Calvin Ridley, Julio Jones, Russell Gage, you know, who cares who they have at running back at this point, whether that's Mike Davis, Cordarrelle Patterson, JV and Hawkins, whatever. You know, and then Arthur Smith, I think that's the part that really scares me more than anything. Arthur Smith's over there, and he's bringing his variation of Shanahan's system with the play action. And Matt Ryan is, let's just say, better than Ryan Tannehill, I'll say, you know, for my money. And, I agree. You know, I think that they have the opportunity to give this team problems. If you can't get to Matt Ryan and you allow those routes to develop down the field with those guys, you're going to get hit up, especially considering the cornerbacks on this roster are thin. That's probably one of the weakest points of this team right now. Honestly. I agree. So yeah, I mean, I'm going to just for the idea of parity and not just saying win, I'll probably give them a loss on this one for now, just because of those things. And just that offense is going to be tough to deal with, honestly. Even if they don't win a bunch of games, their offense is going to be tough to deal with.
Yeah, there's going to be a loss somewhere in here. Late mm-hmm. in the season, road games, you know, whatever. I got a W here, but yeah, I wouldn't be shocked at all.
Right. So Thursday Night Football. So the 49ers play on – it's 4 days. So yep. Sunday, they go right to Thursday, Tennessee, right before Christmas Eve. You know, the Titans have lost a lot of things on the defensive side of the ball. They lost Corey Davis on the offensive side of the ball. They lost Jonnu Smith as well, too, right? They still have Derrick yeah. Henry, and they still have A.J. Brown. They still have Ryan Tannehill, who is extremely efficient in this offense, especially off of play action. How do you foresee this game going?
I got this is the second hardest game on our schedule. But again, as you okay. mentioned, flying across the country, you know, 4 days late in the year, plus your biggest game of the year is coming next week on the road against the Rams. Probably going to be deciding the division, you know, seeding, playoff, all that stuff. This game just, I was so pissed whenever I saw this was a Thursday night game because Nashville was, you know, top of my list as long as it's not a Thursday night game. As long as it's not a Thursday, I'm a teacher. I can't miss all those days. Like, oh, I was so mad. And then on top of Christmas Eve and all that stuff, just not going to work out with the fam. So I got an L here, but I just hate the situation outside of the Titans. This isn't even mentioning the Titans. Four days prep, flying across the country. There's so many things I don't like about this.
Yeah, you know, and you're absolutely right. That's why I'm not going to this game. More about, you know, closer to Christmas, can't be away from the family. I can't drag them that way. And honestly, traveling right there next to Christmas Eve is like that. If anybody's ever seen Home Alone, and I hope you have, that's exactly what it's like, honestly, at this point, especially considering if things keep going in the way that they're going with COVID regulations. So I could definitely foresee this being a loss. But since I gave them a loss to the Falcons, I'm going to pencil in a win here, honestly.
Oh, I like it.
You know what? I think this is going to be a great, like you said, litmus test, right? And this is at the end of the year, right? You want to be rolling. You have to be able to go into cold area places, which Tennessee is going to be freezing December 23rd. You have to be able to go in there, either run the football or just be able to play postseason football, which is, you know, you're not going to be able to score 40 a game, you know, against playoff teams. And who knows if the Titans will be, but I think this will be that sort of test. Nashville is always lit as far as the town. So that game is going to be on fire, and it's definitely going to be a nationally televised game. So I will pencil in a win for them here.
Agreed. Sorry. No, I had an L for the Titans. I'm looking forward to week 17. I'm sorry, the Texans.
Oh, with the Texans? Yeah, that's a W. We don't got to talk about that. Deshaun Watson's not playing in this game.
That's the easiest game on the roster.
Deshaun Watson's not playing in this game. And even if he did, that's probably a win as well. So week 18, this is it. Oof. And I you know what? It's almost like the NFL thinks the way that we're thinking. This game might decide the division. This game is going to be for playoff seeding, right? I think we all both agree that this team will make the playoffs, especially when you consider the extra playoff spot. Yeah. You know, it would take something disastrous for the 49ers to not make the playoffs this year. It's just a matter of where the seeding is. But it's funny that the NFL usually puts Seattle there at the end just because they think that's what's going to happen. And I think this is a bit of foreshadowing because the NFL kind of believes what we believe.
Yep.
This is going to be an amazing game in SoFi Stadium. What do you think, John?
One, we'll be there. I'm going to be at this game, and I'm so
you're convincing me.
It's going to be – dude, that stadium is legit, man. And on top of that, it's going to have over 50% 49ers fans – One of my favorite things about going to Rams games, their like chant that they broadcast over the speaker is "Whose house?" And then like they yell "Our house!" Yeah. And then the fans leave in the third quarter. Like it's really like really this is you guys should if all teams in the NFL that is not the chant that you guys want to do. I think that this game, I feel more confident about the 49ers winning this game than I do about the 49ers beating the Rams at home. Right. This just screams. You're coming off a little bit of a mini bye week because of the Thursday night football game. You get to go home, you rest, you got those 11 days, then you play the Texans, then you travel very short distance, stay in state, go to the Rams, which you do all the time. You claim that stadium as your own. It's never been a road game in Los Angeles. It's not. And I don't think SoFi is going to be that way either. And we're going to freaking flood this. If you're on the fence about which games to go to, add this to your list. It's freaking incredible. The tailgating section alone, LA tailgates so well, the 49ers chapters. There's so many of them. It's such a blast, man. So come have a beer. Come have several beers with us and some tequila. I'm a tequila guy. And yeah, let's have a good time.
Yeah, you know, this is going to be such a fun game, you know, and that's why the 49ers are going to have another primetime game because that last week is open for whatever Sunday night football game they're going to use, and I think that they're going to wind up flexing this one into it because I don't really, when I look through the schedule, unless something is of a tie-breaking, you know, narrative or any type of situation, then I could see somebody else being flexed in. But when you're talking about cachet and you're talking about the two teams that we expect to be 1-2 in this division, I think that this is going to be the game that gets flexed in. This is going to be another test for the 49ers. And I think the 49ers stay 6-0 against the Rams. 6-0 straight through, honestly, all the way through, man. I just love it. I love you know, what they've done. And look, and I talked about this on your show. Look, 49er fans don't like hearing this stuff, but Sean McVay was incredible last year. He was, man. With play calling, he was incredible. And now, you know, you're pairing him with a guy who can do everything that you need him to do. You know, honestly, their scheme is not hard. For people saying Stafford needs to pick it up, he'll be fine. Trust me, he's going to be fine. I'm not really worried about that at all. Sean McVay is going to be able to dial up these plays for him, and it's going to be tougher to deal with, I promise you. And that's what we were talking about with Cam Akers, right? You know, all that stuff opens up the box for him because you have to watch Kupp, Woods, Van Jefferson, DeSean Jackson, who even if he plays four games, you know, it's going to be tough to cover because he takes the top off the defenses. But I will give the 49ers this win. I'm at a point where I think I just went 13-4 with the 49ers.
Same here, yeah.
Okay, so that is where we just have picked different games. But when you overall look at the schedule, you look at it as the 49ers can win every single one of these games, and you could make a case why they should win every single one of these games, especially on May 13th. But you know, as we go through the season, you're going to start to see trends. You're going to start to see things that people are doing differently on film and how they can give problems. And then there's always those games that you can't account for. Those games that you're just like, this was an automatic win. How did they lose this game? You know, those type of things. But I think that this is what makes this exercise fun. And I think this is an exciting time for 49ers fans because they should be excited and think along these lines of 13-4, 12-5, which would easily have them in the playoffs. So,
no, John. I think we're in that range.
Yeah.
And so that's the expectations. You look at the Vegas odds, that mirrors kind of what we just went through. You know, we're top 4 or 5 odds to win the Super Bowl. And so whenever you look at those things, that's what Vegas sees. That's what, again, if you look at, you know, national media, that's what they're seeing as well. You know, we're Niners guys. I get that. But 13-4, that is a very realistic expectation.
It would take, you know, the rash of injuries that we're seeing over the last 2 years for this to happen again, which again, someone would have a voodoo doll if they made this happen a third year. Honestly, I swear, it's almost mathematically impossible. It's almost close to just being an impossibility. But again, with football, you know, things change. John, I appreciate you, man, for coming on here. I thought this was a great discussion. Everybody has been, you know, great in the comments as well, too. John, tell everybody where they can find your work, you know, what you've been working on, and anything else that you want to announce to anybody at this point.
Yeah, Twitter, where I'm most active, as most people are, at JL_Chapman. 49ers Rush, wherever you listen. YouTube's probably the best place just because very similar to your show. We always do video. We implement a lot of film and kind of what we do. So 49ers Rush on YouTube is probably the best place for that. And again, if you're going to one of these games, again, Philly, we're doing Chicago, and we're doing the Rams Week 18. Link up with me. We're going to have stuff out this weekend. The site should be up. And, yeah, come travel with us and just have a blast with us, man. We're playing your whole weekend for you.
Awesome, John. And I'm so glad that we were able to get this done. You know, I had seen plenty of times people were saying, like, you know, you got to get John and we got to talk and everything. It's just, you know, again, you know, when you see people from afar on Twitter, you don't know how to interact with them, engage. How do you do that? Yeah. But hey, you know what? I'm glad that we made this happen. People seem to enjoy our interactions and we should do it more. I mean, we're going to do it in Philly. We'll probably do it in Chicago as well, too. But during the season, you know, you and I should try to link up at least once a week, you know, depending on your schedule and everything.
100%, you know, man. I'm with you.
But, yeah, I enjoy the discussions with you, man. I didn't know how this would go, but our chemistry seems to be good right away off the bat.
We didn't
but
fight, man. I was hoping for a fight. I'm just saying.
No,
I know you're 6'5". You got me on the reach.
That's just an internet rumor, man. I don't know if I'm that tall, honestly. I think it's more the hair at the top, but honestly, man, it just speaks to you know, how positive you are, your football acumen, and just the overall, you know, nice person that you are, honestly, that made this so easy. It made it seem seamless, like we had been speaking for weeks and weeks, and we just like kind of just hopped on and did this. So, man, thank you again, man. I really appreciate you being on here.
Absolute pleasure, man. Excited to see where you go with all this stuff, man. You're crushing it.
Same with you, man. And, you know, just make sure that you follow John everywhere. Follow him on Twitter. Make sure you subscribe to all of his podcasts. Subscribe to his YouTube channel as well, too. You know, I'll be back the rest of the week. You know, tomorrow, you know, I'll do a live show. Saturday, I'll be with Grant. We're going to be talking about rookie minicamp because he's only going to one day, which is Friday. That's the only day that they're allowing beat writers in there. So we'll have some in-depth stuff with him. And, you know, me and John will collaborate, you know, again down the road. So, you know, for Jay, for John, we're out of here.
Craig is usually a fan of water cooler talk, but it's draft season, and that's all anyone wants to talk about. The Athletic has loads of articles about this year's draft, but Greg doesn't have The Athletic, so now he's filling up his water bottle in the bathroom sink, which, to remind you, is the sink people use after they use the bathroom. Get The Athletic and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
If you own a vehicle with less than 200,000 miles and have an auto warranty about to expire or no warranty coverage at all, listen up. CarShield has a low-cost, month-to-month vehicle protection plan that covers more parts than ever. Visit carshield.com/audio to find out how you could pay almost nothing for covered auto repairs. Drivers who activate this vehicle protection today will also receive free roadside assistance, free towing, and car rental options at no additional cost. Get your free quote today at carshield.com/audio. That's carshield.com/audio.